Draw me near. Scripture, and then we'll have you sit down. I'll kind of give you a little testimony before we start the service. If you want to turn your Bibles to St. Mark chapter 11, we're going to read in verse 22. And the Lord has really been dealing with my heart on the same thing Brother Tony was speaking about we are in a time where we should be able to speak the Word of God and see God fulfill that. And kind of what I want to speak on this morning. I want to speak on have faith in God. And reading St. Mark chapter 11, and read verse 22, it says, "And Jesus answered, said unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Wherefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and that you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, God. And Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to be here, God. Lord, you know the battles that we've all fought this week, Lord. And God, we have set this time aside to commit it to you, Lord. We ask you, Lord, you'd help us to bring all of our minds in one mind and one accord this morning. Lord, that we may speak the word with liberty, God, that we may be able to hear it and receive it, God, and draw closer to you from it, God. We love you. We ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to speak this morning on have faith in God. And something I wanted to kind of give a little testimony about my stump grinder. I was at work and I've been dealing with this, should be able to speak the Word of God and see it come to pass. And I was reading at work, and it was just every time I would go to pick up my tablet and start to read, another vehicle would come in. And then just, I'd have to sit it back down and go back and do it. And it seemed like I was on the exact same quote or exact same scripture 50 different times. And you ain't even got through the first sentence. You ever been there? I was sitting there, and I was getting kind of frustrated, and I said, you know what, this is just about pointless, because every time I get started, well, got this vehicle out, and I went back in there, and I was reading the sermon. I believe it, at that time, it was the sermon, an unchanging God working in an unexpected way, was the name of the sermon. I believe that's right. And I was reading the sermon, but when I went back, after that frustration, I read there, and the exact quote that I was reading, Brother Brenham said this. He said, "Sometimes I'll be out there trying to pray, and the briar bushes will be poking me. All these different things will be happening. And sometimes I feel like, why should I even pray?" He says, "But at that unexpected time, if I will go ahead and pray, God will answer prayer. God will work in a very unexpected way." I said, well, praise God. But I'm sitting here, so I begin to read, and I'm studying at work, and I come across a quote where Brother Brandon was talking about a man that got his car stolen from him. And this car was stolen, and he said, Brother Brennan said they prayed and that God brought the car back to him. And I read that. I remember reading that quote, and I was sitting in my chair, leaned back, and I was watching the cars fishing up forward. And I remember I set my tablet on my lap, and I leaned back, and I looked out the window, and I said, God, would I have faith to be able to do that? If somebody was to steal from me, would I have faith to be able to do that?
Yeah.
And I began to put it down, and I started to read some more. Went on about my day, thank God. I had two stumps I had to do that evening. It was already lined up. I had to work late as it was. And so I used to get out of there about 5:30, and it was after 6, and I was just now leaving my shop. And I still got to go get my truck, hook up my trailer, get my grinder, and then I got to drive another 45 minutes to do my job, two stops. Well, I go about my business. I get home. I hook up my truck and get my truck. I hook up to my trailer. I back up to get my grinder, and my grinder's gone. Oh my goodness, Vicky moved it. That's what it is. So I called Vicky up. I said, "Where did you move my grinder?" She said, "I didn't move it anywhere." I said, "You've got to be kidding me! I think someone stole my grinder." And I didn't think about this quote no more than nothing. My mind is thinking, "I've got to get a job done. I don't have a grinder. What am I going to do?" So I start walking the streets, asking people. Nobody knows anything. So I called the man. I told him, I said, "I don't have my grinder. I said, I just don't have it. Someone has stolen it. Stolen my stuff. I can't do your job for you. I'm sorry." And he said, "Man, I sure hope everything works out." We've been praying. I come to church here. We've been praying here as well. Well, Brother Jim Buckner has been coming to my shop, and we pray together. And he actually mentioned that testimony. He said, "Well, Brother Daniel, I remember hearing Brother Branham talk about a car getting stolen one time." I said, "Yes, sir, I know. I read it the exact same day it got stolen." I said, "Brother, I'm believing God's going to restore that." He said, "Brother, let's just believe that. We're going to believe God's going to restore that." I said, "Brother, let's just pray that either you or I will bump into the guy that's got it, whatever it takes." And those are the words I said. And we prayed. And the following Tuesday, Brother Jim Buckner is going out to do a tree. And he's undoing his tree. He needs a man that can climb it with spikes. He can't do it because he's getting older. So he calls a man that he knows of that may know a man. And so he calls this man. He says, "Hey, do you know of somebody that can climb trees? Because I need them to help me do a tree." He said, "Yes, I do. He's right here." So he introduces the two men together. They meet at a certain place, and they go do this job. Well, while they're doing this job, Brother Jim, just through conversation, he says, "You know, a good brother of mine got his grinder stolen the other day." That man looked at him and said, "Really? Well, how long ago was it?" He said, "It was a week ago today." He said, "It was stolen from him." And he said, "Where was this stolen at?" He said, "It was at Panama about a week ago." He said, that guy turned to look at him, wide as ghost. He said, "I'm telling you, brother, I bought a stump grinder in Panama about a week ago." I said, "If it's his, I want him to have it." He said, "Okay." So he said, "Well, if Daniel's honest, if it's not his, he'll tell you. He'll tell you right off the bat it's not his." So they come to my shop. I'm down in the pit. I'm not thinking about that grinder no more than nothing. I've got a new guy working for me, and it's just, I'm doing, working harder, let's just say. Working a lot harder, redoing some things. Well, I'm in the bottom of the pit, and I'm kind of hot and frustrated because trying to keep up. Well, Brother Jim Buckner comes down to my pit. And I'm over here working, and I look over, and I'm like, "What in the world are you doing here?" He said, "Brother, I need you to come with me right now." I said, "Well, brother, I'm kind of busy. I've got two vehicles here I'm working on." He said, "It won't take just a second." I said, "Okay." So I was actually talking to this man, the customer down here, and I'm working on his vehicle. Well, I go up top, and he says, "Brother, I want you to see if this is your grinder." I said, "Okay." So I walk up to this truck, and I could tell from 15 feet away, that is my grinder. I'm telling you, right now, that's my grinder. That man says, "If that's your grinder, I want you to have it back." I said, "Well, praise God." So God restored my grinder, and I said, "Do I owe you anything for it?" He said, "You don't owe me a thing." He said, "But," he said, "I paid $200 for it." He said, "If you want to give the $200, that's up to you. You don't have to." I said, "I'll give you the $200. I appreciate it." So I gave him the money back on it. Well, there's lots of people at my shop had known about, customers that have known that. Well, an older lady, I had talked to her the other day. It was Mr. Jenkins' mother. I got this testimony. Well, I'm at work, and she comes by, and she says, "Daniel, I just want to know, have you heard anything about your stump grinder?" I said, "Well, matter of fact, I do." I give her the testimony, the same thing I told you. She started crying. She put her hands on it. She said, "Daniel, that just gives me Holy Ghost bumps all over." I said, "Well, praise God." Well, Brother Jim Buckner had lost a very special knife to him. It's a case knife. His wife bought it for him for Christmas. And it's been gone for a couple of days. He said, "Brother, I can't find it anywhere." He said, "I have looked everywhere. I can't find it." He said, "Normally I wouldn't care, but this is kind of special to me because it's for my wife." So on Friday, I told him, I said, "Brother," I said, "the same way God restored my grinder, let's pray that God will restore your knife. Let's just pray you open your toolbox and you just find it." He said, "Brother, it ain't there. I'm done it right now." I said, "Let's just pray, brother." So we prayed right there, right at where my computer's at. We put our hands crossed here. We prayed right there. God, restore his grinder for him. A week goes by. I'm going about doing my business. He's doing his. And we're busy on a Friday. And I got the same guy. I'm working hysterically hard trying to keep up with everything. I get a phone call from him. It's Brother Jim Buckner. And he was so happy. He just got clicking his heels over the phone. He said, Brother Daniel, you ain't going to believe it, brother. You ain't going to believe it. I said, "What is it, brother? What's going on here?" He said, "You ain't going to believe it. I was doing a job a while ago. I opened my toolbox and my pocket knife was laying on the door of that toolbox. I said, praise God, brother. Let's give him a little hand. Now I want you to think about that. What's the possibility of a toolbox door that flips down like that, a pocket knife sitting right on top of it?
Right.
God gave his knife back to him. Amen. He can do it however he wants to. But the Lord has been dealing my heart on a lot of that things about being able to speak the word. And what God had been dealing my heart on is if I was studying in the Word at that time, would that have happened that way? You know, if I would have been studying that sermon, if I had been seeking God, or if I would have quit when I got frustrated, would that have taken place? But see, that's where it kind of all stemmed from, is where I was digging in the Word. And that's why I feel like it's so important that we as believers get in the Word. And really dig in the Word, because then we can see those promises, and then you yourself can say, I wonder if this can happen for me. And then you pray and see God restore that in your life. Amen. And I want you to understand, anytime I give testimonies, I'm not trying to lift myself up at all. I'm trying to praise Him. I want Him to be lifted up, because He's real to me, saints of God. He's real. And so I'll give one more testimony. How many remembers I gave a testimony or a prayer request a while back about a young man? I said, I don't even know his name. It's a little boy that had a disease. And he was going to the doctor's office. I've been having to work Saturdays here like that because we had to let go of somebody. And I had to work, and his parents come in. It's the first time I've seen them since that time. And they were doing the old change. And I looked at him. I remembered. I said, how is that baby? I said, didn't I pray for your baby a while back? He said, yes. She said, you ain't going to believe this. She said, we went all the way up there. It's in Texas, I believe, where she said they drove it to. Went all the way up there. They said that the stuff was there. They were going there for treatments. She said, they did a test on that baby, and they could not find anything. Anything. Man. She said, he's perfectly well. They said, we just went back home. I said, well, praise God. Yeah. So I just want to praise God, because Amen. You know what? You guys prayed for that also. That wasn't me. That wasn't you. It was God.
Amen.
So, we'll just praise the Lord anyhow.
Amen.
Lord has been dealing with my heart on is a lot of times, you know, you kind of get frustrated because you want to see God move in your life, and you're fighting certain prayer requests. And have you ever been fighting something so hard, Tony, so hard, you're trying to get through it, and you can't get the answer, but then you'll see somebody else over there, and they get the answer real fast. I have been that way. Well, I've been kind of studying those things, and in my life, I have noticed that. And I want to read you a quote that it's from that same sermon, The Unchangeable God. Works in an unworked, you know the sermon. And if a man really gets a hold of God, and God gets into the man's heart, don't worry. Sparks will be flying from every side because he is deep enough in God. And his whole life is rooted and grounded in Christ, you see. Therefore, we know that it isn't just lazy preachers. It's because that the convert doesn't go deep enough till he loses the sight of the world and the things of the world. If he ever gets close enough to God, he doesn't do that. And I read that, and that really spoke to my heart, because I began to say, you know what? It's not a minister's fault that I'm not getting these things. It's my fault, because I got to get deeper in God. Amen?
Right.
Because you got to think about it. Why do things happen in our life? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Why do bad things happen to good people? Right. You know, it couldn't be the child molester or somebody up there that gets a migraine every day of his life, how much sometimes we wish that he would. But sometimes it's the person that does things right. They pay their tithes, they get their offerings, they'll help their neighbor for free, they'll do all these things. It's the good people. But why is it, it's a lot of times, it's them fighting the battle. Why is that? It's because God has got a plan. And God's plan is He wants to work in our lives. And the only way He can work in your lives is if there's obstacles that take place. So say Satan will put something upon you, an affliction or whatever it may be. And in my case, an ear infection has been here for the last 4 months. You know what? It's a battle every day. And I said, why me? Why do I have to fight this battle? You know why? Because God is allowing Pharaoh to touch this ear. He's going to afflict it and afflict it and afflict it. And sometimes it's so bad that he'll walk back, I'll open the service up, I went completely deaf with both ears. Couldn't hear a thing. You talk about trying to kind of a spooky feeling. Yeah. He's trying to open service and I can't hear a thing. And that's why Sister Elizabeth started prayer requests. I couldn't hear. I could not hear a word she was saying. I looked forward and it kind of spooked me and I just kind of shaken. And I just tried to do the best I could at talking, not hearing. You ever tried doing that before? You ever tried singing and not hear a thing? I bet I sing bad enough already. Lord knows I don't need that. Who knows, I may do better. But you know what? Bad things will happen to you. And you wonder why. It's because God is allowing Pharaoh. He's hardening his heart, if it work.
Because he's going to put all this pressure on you, because that way when God delivers you from it, it'll be God doing it.
Right.
Amen. And that's the reason, you know, sometimes you'll hear the preacher preach, he'll say, you do this, Sister Catherine, you do this, you do these things, and you're going to have liberty in your life. And she'll say, hey, man, I'm going to do it. And she'll go, and she'll like everything that could go wrong goes wrong. You ever had that happen to you? Battle after battle. Why is it? Because God is hardening the heart of Pharaoh, because he's going to put all this pressure upon you, and you're like, God, how am I going to do this? Have faith in God. During that time, have faith in God, and say, God is with me. I heard the word of God. I'm applying the word to my life. God is with me. And you start walking forward and see if God don't meet you. Amen. I believe wholeheartedly this year is going to be restored. You mark my words. I'm saying it today. Mark my words. It's going to be healed. Not because of me, because His word says, by His stripes I'm healed already.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
So saints of God, I want to ask you, well, you know, what's a battle you've been fighting yourself? And you know you've been battling this thing. You simplify it in yourself right now. And you say, you know what? I'm going to have God meet this need. God's going to meet this challenge for me. Because you know, sometimes, we look at myself anyway. I can't really speak for you, but myself, I look at children of Israel. And I'll see God giving them manna every day. God restoring their shoes. Their shoes are never wearing out. God does all these miracles, all these different things in their life. And all these wonderful things they're seeing God do. But then the first sign of trouble, they said, let's go back to Egypt.
Yeah.
Let's just go back. Looking in the Bible, you're saying, how can you do this? How can you see God do so much and you're so willing to give up? And I remember I was reading that scripture and God spoke to me and said, what about you? You know what? Because sometimes in my own life, I'd seen myself so many battles and be so ready to give up. But you know what? We were at a time we could speak the word and see God move. Amen?
Yeah.
I went to my brother's house a couple weeks ago. And so much financial distress. It was just terrible. Mark, a minimum wage job, living in with a family where they're not married, and a bunch of kids everywhere. And you go in, and that's the thing you got to believe. If you have noticed, you can go into a room and feel so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But everybody else can go there and they don't feel nothing. But you yourself, you're so uncomfortable the whole time you're there. You can't relax. Why? It's spirits. They're in that house. And I was there. I seen the distress that was on him and all these different things. And I just began to speak the word to him. I said, you know what? I said, brother, I said, God wants to work in your life. He wants to mend your broken home. He wants to mend your finances. He'll do all these things if you'll commit it to him. You know what? Sometimes it's hard for people to remember that God wants to meet your financial need. God wants to meet your healing need. God wants to meet your spiritual need. But we have to do certain things for him to be able to do that. And I was talking to my brother about these things, and I said, you know what? I said, I know you've got this heavy load, and it looks impossible. I said, I believe it. If you'll just take a small step towards God, I said, I believe God will begin to meet your needs. I said, I believe it. He said, he will for you. I said, he will for you. You got to believe that. And we had communion. That was the week of the communion. We came to communion, and I just had a very emotional time before the Lord. Very good time for me. And I began to cry out for my brother. I said, just ask God to really help him. Because I want to see my brother serving God. And I want to see these things met. And my brother calls me Monday morning, or Monday evening. No, it was Monday morning. Was that morning? He didn't go to work that evening. He called me Monday morning. Same brother. He said, Daniel, he said, my landlord has come over this morning and offered me a job making $15 an hour. He said, I really want to take this job. He said, but I want your advice on it. I said, brother, I'm going to tell you what you do. You need to put God first. God's given you a financial need here. I said, but put God first, man. I said, don't settle for just this. He said, oh, I know. I said, I'm just trying. I said, that's a good effort. Start trying. God gave him a job. And making good money. Now he's able to pay the needs. And I got a phone call this week to him and the girl getting married. He said, you know what? We're not living like this no more. We're making changes. We're going to start doing things right. We're going to get married. I said, praise God, bro. That's another step. Keep going.
That's right.
Keep going. Amen. Yeah. Maybe there's not necessarily broken homes here, but I want to ask you, if you're fighting battles, saints of God, put God first. And you take a small step forward. Just take a step forward and say, you know what, God, I'm doing this in the name of the Lord. Because I want to see my loved ones saved. Amen.
Right.
I want to see these needs met, amen? And you say, God, I'm going to take a step forward, and I'm speaking the word with a pure heart, God, and I'm going to ask you, meet this need, and see if God don't start meeting the needs, amen? Because if we can't speak the word, who can? Do you claim to be the bride of Jesus Christ? Yeah. Say amen if you do. Amen. I'm the bride of Jesus Christ. I'm excited about the saints of God. But you know what? I believe we can start speaking the word, but not just for our need, but for our brother's need, our sister's need. But you know what? Sometimes when we're weak, we can't do it. Sometimes it's good to have a big brother and know someone's praying for you. Yeah. But I want to read the scripture. In Exodus, you don't have to turn there, but I want to kind of, this is the kind of thought I want to go around. It's afterward Moses and Aaron went in, and Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let him go. And they said, the God of the Hebrews had met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice in the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence and the sword. And I want to skip on down to where they were crying out to Pharaoh, or to Moses rather. And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they come forth from Pharaoh. And they said unto him, the Lord look upon you and judge, because you have made our Savior to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? Think about that. This is a messenger that was sent to these people just to bring them out of bondage. And all he's saying is bad things happen. Amen. He's come to deliver these people, and all that's happening is bad things. Because remember, this is where Pharaoh is telling them, I want you to build the blocks, but you get your own straw. You get all these only things. You do all of this, but don't you diminish one brick of block. And Pharaoh and Moses is looking at this, and he's saying, you know what? I have come, I have spoken the word, but nothing but bad is coming to these people. And he's talking to God about this, and he says, for since I come to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. And I began to look at this scripture and seeing, as I was saying a little ago, sometimes you feel like God ain't doing nothing in these trials that you're praying for. Amen? Yeah. If we'll be honest about it, we'll say, amen. You know what? We all got battles that we're trying to fight. And it seems like no matter how many times you pray, you don't see things happening. And Moses is looking at this. He's saying, I'm doing it according to the word, God. I'm doing it right. What's going wrong? And this is what God says. Said, then the Lord said unto Moses, now thou shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God said unto Moses, and said unto him, I am the Lord. I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty, by the name Jehovah was I known to them. God is talking to him. He's saying, I am the Lord. Amen. I'm the one that's going to be able to do this. And I was talking to my wife, and I hope she don't mind. I'll bring her right into this. We were doing this house situation, putting this house together, and she was so stressed out a lot about all these things. And I called her, I said, baby, I said, you got to stop and think about this. God's doing this. You've got to remember, God is doing this. Don't worry about yourself. Don't worry about me, because not my hand's going to do it, not your hand's going to. It's going to be the blessing of God. Do y'all believe that?
Yeah.
If you're going to get something done, it's going to be God that does it through you. Amen?
Right.
I said, you know what? I said, we got to think about this. And brother, a minister said this here a while back. I agree with it 100%. If God blesses you with a house or a truck, he will not require you to miss church, but make payments. Amen? If God bless you with all these things, a blessing from that, God will provide for that and still make it where you can make it to the house of God and worship God.
Right.
That's right. That's a real blessing of God. Amen. You know what? And I said, I believe God blessed us with this house from the beginning. I said, because you know what? We got it cheap. All these things, I believe it's God. It's always been God. But once we put our hands in it, God can't bless it. It can't. I said, hold your hands back and let God work. And I'm going to tell you something. God come on the scene. And God began to move things and orchestrate things and make it work. And I'm putting that towards this example for you, saints of God. You think about what you're battling. And you know what? For me, I look at my children right now. And I look at this world up here, and I see everywhere you go, it's bondage. There's everything from video games to magazines to televisions, all these different things. And though you could try all you want to keep them from it, we'll be going down the road, they'll mention a certain name from somebody like, who in the world is that?
That's right.
And how did you hear about it? Because you ain't going to hear from it from our house, but yet they'll be able to speak about it. Why? We live in this world right here.
That's right.
Is that the truth?
Yeah.
You know what? And if you're like me, you weren't raised in the message. So you grew up watching movies. You grew up listening to music and all these things. So you can go into a restaurant. You'll hear a certain song like, oh, yeah, I remember that. But all of a sudden, there's something on the inside checks and you're like, God, forgive me.
That's right.
Because you still got this.
Right.
That's exactly right. You'll be going somewhere, someone could be talking about a movie or something, and you'll remember, and it's not necessarily something bad, but it's something, and you'll remember it. You're like, oh yeah, I remember that. I shouldn't even remember that. Come on, amen.
Right.
Let's put our halos, put them in our purses and things. Let's just be real right now. We can put them on after service if we need to. But let's just be real, saints of God. Because I know that's the way I am. I'm fighting this battle. I'm going through this life. And these are the things I go through. Amen. I want to be just as transparent as I can be. But tell me, talk about don't be a stub shirt. I don't ever want to be a stub shirt. I want you to see that who I am. You say, this is Brother Daniel. And if you ever see me going through a battle, pray for me. Amen. If you ever see me say something out loud, pray for me. And I'm going to do the same thing for you. That's something I feel like God is really trying to implant in us, is to have a little bit of grace for one another. You know what? Because you're like, I've already called on your name once. I'm going to call on her again. Sister Catherine. You know what? If she may say something that maybe it don't sound exactly right, don't hold that against her. Because you know what? If it was something wrong, I believe God will convict her heart and she'll pray about that night. Amen? And you can pray for her and say, pray for Sister Catherine. And Brother Deacon's going to get me after service now. Mess with my life. But you know what? I believe that's right, saints of God. If we will have faith in one another, have faith in God, have faith in God in one another. Amen?
Right.
Because whenever we see someone in error going wrong, we got to remember, I was talking to my wife about this last Sunday. I said, we have an enemy that's as a roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour. Now, if we had a lion, a real lion out there, running around outside, how quick are we going to be to just act careless?
Right.
We're not going to. We're going to be watchful. We're going to be mindful. We're going to say, you know what? I need a watchman. Watchman. I want him to be up on the tower. I want him to be watching. And he's going to be watching for that lion. Because if he sees that lion coming in, he's going to call out. He's going to say, there's a lion coming. Amen.
Right.
But a lot of times we'll hear him say, there's a lion coming. Like, I don't want to hear that. That's my personal life.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Those are my personal things. But these are small things and they don't matter. It's a small lion. How hard can it be? Small lines grow up to be big lines.
That's exactly right.
And you know what? That's not the sense of God. I was talking to somebody the other day. You can have a whiskey bottle and you can put a pretty apple on it, grapes on it, whatever you want to do, it's still whiskey.
Right.
And sin, you can pretty it up, you can doctor it up, you can make it look as pretty as you want to. Sin is still sin. You believe that?
Right.
Sin is still sin, saints of God. And I believe we need to call out on it. Amen. And television is one of the biggest things, because that's something I feel is trying to creep in further and further. It's because if we allow ourselves into that, it's bondage, saints of God.
Right.
They've got this thing out now called Duck Dynasty.
Yeah.
And I'm sure everybody in here has at least heard of the name, because everywhere you go, you see it somewhere. Oh yeah, I've seen like little clips at work. Somebody pull up and they got a couple of goofy guys on there, and it's funny. But you know what? Something like that, what that can be used for, is just like a little vacuum. That can suck your time into that. Mm-hmm. And before too long, one little thing will come inside there. And one more thing. And before too long, you'll be so consumed into something so innocent.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be like, what in the world? It's time for bed and I have not even prayed tonight. Mm-hmm. I haven't even read tonight. Am I talking the truth today?
Right.
It's little things. And like I said, it's minded from what I've read about it and heard about it. It's a Christian family and all these different things. But let me ask you, if you have that on the television, how much garbage do you have to dig through to get to that good stuff out of that one film?
Right.
And I don't know why, that's really on my heart, saints of God. I want to, especially the fathers and the husbands, think about those things. Because I'll tell you what, as a watchman, that's a little bitty line that can grow up to be a big line for too long.
Right.
And if you don't get control of it, it'll get a hold of you. I was sitting here a while back about a spirit. Last time I spoke on Thursday night, I was talking about spirits, how a spirit can get over a man. And let's use adultery for instance. just because it's an easy one everyone can kind of comprehend with.
Adultery is something, adulterous spirit can come on a man. And this man can have best intention in his mind, best intentions in the world. And he can be going about his daily business. And all that takes is one woman anointed with a foul spirit, with a perverted spirit, to walk around with no clothes on. And in his heart, God will say, turn your head. But in your mind, you're like, just look once. Just look one time. And you'll turn around and you'll look. And you know what's going to happen? The next woman that comes, it's going to get harder and harder and harder to turn your head.
Right.
And then before too long, that spirit is upon you, and that spirit's going to need fed. It's going to need nourished. And for too long, you're going to have to look at more things to satisfy that spirit.
That's right.
And you're going to think, you know what? I'll be able to feel it. But it's going to get easier. It's going to get easier. Listen to me, brother. It'll get so strong, you won't be able to overcome.
That's right.
But you know what? It's the same way with the Holy Spirit. You can have the Holy Spirit upon you, saints of God, when you're meditating in the Word and in fellowship. And that's something, saints of God, fellowship. We need that fellowship, amen? We need fellowship where we can get together. And we have get together. Anytime the doors are open, if it's possible, we ought to be here.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. We ought to be here. Could you imagine what it would be to miss service on a service that you know you could have been there and then find out a rapture happened the next day and come to find out there was something preached during that service you needed to hear? Bring faith to where you felt rapture.
Right.
Now I believe rapture's in us. I do. I believe that we're in the rapture process. But I also believe there's a reason for us assembling together. There's a reason for it, brothers and sisters. And I know I'm hitting on a lot of hard things, and I hope you'll still like me.
Great, brother.
But you know what, saints of God, I want a stronger church. I want a stronger family. To where, you know what, when we come here, Brother Branham, I wrote this, I'm not going to read it. I'll just tell you exactly what it said. Brother Branham said, we should be able to have this church in such a way where every individual is conducting themselves in such a way that no sin can come through them doors and not get called out on it. He said, I believe we can have that. So what he's talking about, saints of God, is we as individuals can conduct ourselves in such a way, reverence before God, and say, God, if there's sin in my life, call it out. And then when he calls it out, say, God, forgive me and get it out of your house. Amen.
Amen.
And then whenever we do that, that's obedience. And then God can bless you. But that's the only way God can bless you. That's the only way God can bless this church is when we as individuals will commit ourselves and say, you know what? Sin is not going to roll in my house. Sin is not going to roll in my home. We're going to get together. We're going to pray together. Because we're going to, saints of God, I don't know if you've been saying things here lately, but I have. A lot of spiritual things that are happening right now, and I want you to be a part of it. And the only way you're going to get a part of it is by doing exactly what I'm saying. It's commit yourself closer to God. I know there's something here that's needing healing in your bodies.
Amen.
I know. I know myself. There's times, saints of God, I don't know how I'm going to make another step, but I'm believing for a total restoration of this body. Either God will heal it, or God will give me my new body. I believe that, saints of God. Do you believe that for yourself?
Yeah.
I just want everyone to stand up right now. I don't want to drag this service out. I know I've spoken a lot of things. I just want to ask you to be sincere before God yourself. You know where you're at and you know what you're fighting. And I want you to remember that God has a program. And what I mean by God's program is God has a way of doing certain things. And whether it be healing, whether it be financial, whatever it may be. And I'll show you something. I told Brother Tony and Brother Tim, you all back. I was fighting a battle. Especially when my grinder and everything was stolen. This is what I told him. I was in the back room. I said, brothers, I'm paying my tithes. I've been faithful with it. I'm paying my offerings. I've always been faithful with it. I said, it's in my knowledge. My heart is pure before God. A family spirit for God, before my knowledge. Remember that, brothers? I said, I know I can commit this thing to God, and that God will take care of it. You brothers remember that? Saints of God, the same thing for whatever battle you're fighting. You ask yourself, you know, have I been doing it according to the Word? Has my life been according to this Word? If I'm in financial stress, have I been living according to the Word? Have I been giving my tithe? They'd say paying, giving, because it's God's. And you know what? I'm going to stop right there. When you give tithes, you should never ask yourself after that what is being done with that, whether they're going out and doing this. Are you giving it to God in good favor? And then when you give it to God in good favor, leave that to God. And see if God don't take care of those things. Because see, I'm going to show you something. Whenever we put those things according to God's program, God can bless you if you'll work His way. But see, we can't do it our way. We can't control those things. And that, what I mean is, when you pray for, if it's praying for a lost loved one, don't say, God, I want you to do it. This is how I want you to do it. Just like this. But you say, God, however you want to do it. I'm going to ask you to do it in whatever unexpected way. Because I'm going to tell you something. You think I could have ever cooked up something and said, God, I want you to pray for Brother Jim Buckner to meet this certain man, to meet this certain man. It would never happen. But see, if we'll commit it to God right now and say, God, I'm not going to tie any strings attached. You commit. I'm committed to you right now. And I'm believing right now. And you yourself speak it. Say, you know what? I'm speaking this right now. Because I've done it according to that. I've made sure my heart is pure. My home is pure. Everything's pure. The reason I say that is because sometimes a hidden sin in your life will allow that thing to sit right there. But if those things are out of the way, that mountain's got to move. Amen. It's got to move. If you'll speak that word, it will move. I'm going to ask you to just bow your heads right now. And if you've got something, and you know yourself, you know the battle you're fighting. I know the battle I'm fighting. You know what? If you can either come forth, and me and Brother Tony will pray with you together, or you can stay right where you're seated, and you can raise your hand right now. And you say, you know what? I've got this battle. This mountain has been in my way, and it seems like every time I try to get out of the way, it keeps coming back. God sees your hands going forth. Every head bowed. And if you want to come forth, you're welcome to come forth, and we'll pray for you right there where you're at. And I want you to commit it to yourself right now. Reassure yourself right now, because the devil's going to come after service. He's going to say, oh, but this was in your life. This is in your life. It has to stay there. If it's a lost loved one, whatever it may be, financial, whatever it may be, healing, whatever it may be, right now you commit it to God and say, God, I've done it according to the Word. I'm speaking the Word of God right now. And you see if God don't move on the need. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. And God, you see, nearly every hand in the building has gone up, God. And Lord Jesus, they have committed it to you right now, Father. Lord, we see that in ourselves, we can't do it, God. Lord, the same way I was talking to my wife here a while back, Lord. We can't do it ourselves in this house. It's going to be you that moves. It's going to be you that provides. It's going to be you that does what needs to be taken care of. God, in the same way you moved on our behalf, God, I ask you to move on every behalf of every hand that's come up this morning, God. Lord, they've lifted their hand and say, I have got a need, Lord. Whether it be a lost loved one, God, whatever it may be, I ask you, Father, right now, you'll meet every need among us, Father. Lord, I ask you to touch every heart, God, that we can. Lord, if there be anything in our homes, God, that should not be there, Lord, help us, Father, to be bold enough to get it out of the house, Lord. Yes. God, help us to conduct our home where it can be under the blood, Father. Lord, I ask you to touch every father, Lord, every mother, Lord. Lord Jesus, that we can look within ourselves and be honest with the Word of God and see, can it, should it be here, or should it not, God? And Lord, if it needs to move, give us the boldness to not go to bed tonight until it's gone, Father. Lord Jesus, I ask you to bring every healing that needs to take place, Father. Lord, break every chain that tries to bind, Father. I ask you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Tim to come forward if you don't mind. Brother Tim, you know that song, Jesus Breaks Every Fetter? He breaks every fetter. Amen. Sometimes you just feel so overwhelmed and you're like, God, what should I do? What should I pray for? You've got so many things you want to just say, break every fetter. Amen. I'm going to ask you, don't go home today if there's any doubt in your heart. Don't go home at all. Don't go home like that. You're in service, saints of God. Don't ever go home until you know for sure. I've touched God. I'm content in my heart. Because I'm going to tell you something. We'll stay as long as you want to stay. It may be just you, Brother Tony, but we'll still be here. Amen.
Someone asked one time, how long should I pray? I tell you, until you feel good. Amen? It can be a simple prayer, or it can be however long to be. But you pray until you know in your heart it's settled. Amen.
Jesus breaks every fetter. Jesus breaks every fetter. Jesus breaks every fetter. For He said,
to our overcoming today. You know, the scriptures let us know that Satan is wiser than Daniel. There's only one that can really defeat him, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And Brother Daniel mentioned television and different things like that. And we know, just like sin is really attributes of unbelief, and living ungodly is attributes of unbelief, attributes of what Satan has perpetrated into society and what is actually in our flesh when we're born. So this enemy that we have, you're not going to be able to defeat him in yourself, but the Lord has always defeated him. Never, the Lord will never lose a battle. And so when Brother Daniel's mentioning TV programmings, and I don't know where everybody is on that in their own life. Don't know if you've got one or if you don't have one. But the television programming, it's not the box that sits in your living room that you turn on, but it's what comes across it. Jesus said, "My words, they are spirit and they are life." Then I think just by, you know, the contrast, you could say then Satan's words, they're spirit also. They bring death. And my point for saying that is that spirits, evil spirits, and the Holy Spirit also, travels in words. And what you see and what you hear and how that is, how you experience things, it brings those things into your life. That's why it's so important to be in the house of God or be in the Word and hear and read the Word, because that is a conduit of the Holy Spirit in that life to come into you and strengthen you. Contrary wise, to feed on other things brings the spirits that are behind them into you. So television programming, who made it? Who writes the programs on TV? And what is it? What is it all about? What is it endorsing? What is it transferring into? That's why we want to say, be careful. Don't have those things, you know, in your home, or don't be feeding on that sort of stuff, because it's what comes through that. And so when Brother Daniel mentioned that, I wanted to just kind of clarify that, just that I'm not sure exactly where everyone is in understanding that, but I have sense enough to know, just like Brother Brandon said, you know, that when his mother was a little young lady, if a woman went outside dressed the way they do nowadays out on the street, in just a moment the police would have them locked up. And Brother Brandon made a simple statement, and it's true. If it was wrong back then for a woman to come out of the house dressed that way, then it's wrong now.
Right.
So the principle hasn't changed, but what's changed? Society's acceptance of something that at one time was wrong. We went to Silver Dollar City yesterday. I've heard of the place all my life, and I finally went yesterday the first time. And you know, all the people, especially the women, they all dress in dresses all the way down to their feet. They dress like old time, right? And that's what you see all there, you know. It's a common understanding that that's the way it used to be. But why did it used to be that way? It's certainly different now. So you see, truth hasn't drifted. The man has drifted. And it's the principles that were right in that garden, in the Garden of Eden, the day sin happened, the principles of truth that were there are still with us right now. And we want to latch on to those principles of truth and let that be what our life is all about, and forget what the world does, and let them, you know, if they're going to go off whatever way they do, let them do that, but we don't want to be tied to that. As Brother Daniel said, we live in this world, and I think I told him the other day, and I know this is the, as Brother Brown said, it's the most glorious age, because it's right at the age of the coming of the Lord. And that if God gave him a chance to ask him, you know, what day would you want to be in, he'd say, I'd pick this day. So I realize that I've got to look through the eyes of what a prophet is saying here. I've got to see through the eyes of the Word to realize that the most glorious time for us is right now. Don't be trying to say, I wish I was living in another day.
Right.
But ask God to open our eyes to see what is the opportunity of this hour. But even in the midst of all that, if you understand what I'm about to say, I hate this age. Because I hate what it has produced out there, that when I want to raise my family in a holy environment, I've got 99.9% of everything else against it.
Right.
And it's hard.
Right.
The only way, what are you going to do? Just go off into some deep wilderness, right in some canyon in Alaska before they're born, and then be birthed there and never leave that canyon? You might be able to raise them without the world influencing them. Until they see an airplane fly over or something like that. But you see, we're in this world, they're going to see it, and it's back to what Brother Daniel mentioned the other day. We've got to inoculate them. We've got to inoculate them with truth and the principles of truth, and because they're going to run into the world. One of these days, if the Lord tarries, they're going to bury me. And I won't be here but my influence of teaching will be left behind. And so you see what I'm saying? We want to be tied to those principles and follow after those things. And so that's, when Brother Daniel mentions the dress and all those things, that's what we're talking about. We're not really trying to say, as I said last week, we're not telling you, go buy you the dresses and throw your pants away, you sisters, and go do this and go do that. We're saying, find that experience in God.
Yeah.
That experience in God will take us back to those truths that were there in the garden, that are still here today, the truths that held our forefathers so that they dressed right and acted right. The truth that the world has lost today, it'll take us back to those truths. And that's what we want more than anything else. And Satan is a master at trying to get us in the middle of doing this kind of thing here, saying, I'm in church, and I do this, and I do that, and we've missed those principles of truth to really be alive in our heart. And that's what we want to make sure that we have. And so, Brother Daniel, not only will we like you for preaching, we love you. We love you for preaching truth. As I've just thought, as Brother Ram said, when that boxer that he was sparring with and hit him so hard, he said, "Why do you have to fight? Hit me so hard." And the man said, "You'll appreciate it when you get in the ring with your opponent." And saints, Brother Daniel, myself, we don't paint a picture to you that we're know-it-alls. But what we do want you to know is that we love you.
Yeah.
And we want to see you overcome in God. And saints, I don't want to stand on that last home, or that last day. I don't want to see you turn around and look at me and say, "Brother Tony, the rapture just happened. Why am I still here? What did you not tell me?" But at that same time, I don't want to look out and say, "I know I'm telling them. I know it's being spoken, but I see them not putting it into action in their life. And I can't put it in action for them." See, this is where we're at. We want to be doers of the word and not just hearers of the word. Right? And so that's we heard some good things this morning, some good truth. And Brother Daniel, you always have liberty to say what's on your heart, because I believe in his experience. He says he believes in mine. I count Brother Daniel as a fellow soldier that I'm happy to be in the trenches with him. And I'm happy, as he is, to be in the trenches fighting for you. And we want to see you to be overcomers also. But that's why sometimes we have to say things that are hard. And I'll be honest with you, I'll tell you, I like it when I have someone else minister, like Brother Daniel or somebody that's a visiting minister, because there are certain things that I want to say that are truth. That if I say it, it's going to be thought, well, it's this and that, you know, it means this because of this, because of that, he's pastor, whatever. And so I need fivefold ministry so they can come in and they can have liberty to say what's on their heart, and it'll be what I know needs to be said, and they can get by with saying it. Right? They can get by with saying it, and you'll receive it, right? So that's the way it works, and it's God's economy. He made it that way. And so just remember, we're all a family, and there is a fivefold ministry. And not one person can do it all themselves. We all are a family, and we all benefit one from another. And so we want to be diligent in our part to serve God as He would have us. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord. I don't mean to keep you standing, but I just want to deliver what is on my heart, as Brother Daniel has, and just kind of come in and back up what he has said and tell you that I agree with what I heard. I agree with what I've heard. One of the best things that we can have is real live testimonies of God moving. And when we have people come among us, that maybe it's the full gospel, the supernatural things of God, they've never been around it and they don't know anything about it. But if they could see the God that we serve in among us moving and doing the supernatural, that's going to touch the heart of those people and introduce them to the supernatural side of God, because He is a supernatural God. He is a God who does things all beyond what anybody else can. And that's what we should expect in our midst, because He declares Himself to be that among us. And we thank God for that. Just bow our hearts as we get ready to go. As we begin to select a song for dismissal. Heavenly Father, we thank You for what we've heard today. Lord, it is truth. And I know, God, that we live in one of the most tremendous times. I don't just say that just because it's a cliche. But Lord, we're beginning to realize that there is a bringing forth that the bride is going to have to do. We realize, Lord, that each one of us in our own personal walk, we are having birth pains. And Lord, it just seems so hard that we realize if we're going to have the victory that You have promised us in this day, we're going to have to push, Lord, and endure these birth pains until we deliver Your promise of reality. We know that we have that among us, Lord. We know we have the words of eternal life, that we pray, God, You would help us as we fight these battles to be good soldiers. Lord, to be doers of the word, not just hearers. To put into action, Lord, in our own lives and begin to speak in our own prayer these words of eternal life that You've committed to us. I ask, God, that You bless each of the saints as they go today. Lord, just let the anointing of this service be upon them. Let it linger with them throughout the week. May their minds be brought back often to the things they've heard today. And may they search the scriptures daily, Lord, to see if these things are so. And then, Lord, Once they search it and see it, I pray, God, that you would infuse that truth into their hearts and never doubt that ever again, but to believe it and move forward expecting you to fulfill each of those promises they see. We commit this evening or this afternoon into your hands, our fellowship, Lord, anything that would happen, the traveling, grace and mercy upon the people, we commit it into thy hands and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. We'll let you be dismissed as we sing this dismissal song. God bless you.